In 1974, in the Church of God, that was the worldwide Church of God at that particular time, we had been keeping the Passover on the 14th day of the first month according to the calculated Hebrew calendar. And I remember the first time that I heard a sermon on that, and it was very difficult to understand. So I'm going to get out my 50-year-old Oxford King James, and I'm going to read from Exodus 12. Exodus 12. And what we have done with the translation of the Old and New Testament in the Faithful Version is this. We've eliminated all of the stumbling blocks of Paul's difficult to understand scriptures. Now, as I mentioned before, we have all of those in Appendix Z. Now, what you need to do is this. You need to go to Appendix Z and start a Bible study going through every single one of them. And the reason being is this, is that this Bible, not only in eliminating those errors in the New Testament, and we'll see some that we've eliminated in the Old Testament here, sticks to the truth of God. We have no agenda except the truth of God. No political committee to please. Because when you get a translating committee with Catholics and Protestants and Lutherans and Methodists and Seventh-day Adventists and Jews, there is no way you can come to the truth. Because of their traditions, they cannot be honest with the Word of God. And that's the first thing in any Bible study. You've got to not only seek the truth, you have to be honest with the Word of God. You can't have any of your own ideas. If you don't understand the Scriptures, then you start with the simple things, like we have the reason we have 14 rules of Bible study. See, now, this Bible with the commentaries and appendices is designed to help those who are coming out of Protestantism and Catholicism, and to help those in the various churches of God come to understand the truth concerning difficult doctrines. Now, there can be nothing more central to faith than the Passover. And as we have learned, even though we're going to start in Exodus 12, the true Passover begins with Abraham in Genesis 15. And that was a point because they never really got into things deep enough in the Church of God. And that resulted because of a hierarchy. And if the man at the top wasn't the one to discover it, it couldn't be discovered. So when I first heard a sermon explaining about the Passover and then the days of unleavened bread, because unleavened bread follows the Passover. And as you all know, the Passover is taken as the day begins after sunset, as it's starting to get dark on the 14th day of the first month, according to the calculated Hebrew calendar. Now, there are all kinds of calendar problems out there, too. And so if you have problems with calendar, the Hebrew calendar, then you call the office, email us, or write us, and we'll send you all the calendar material. And let me tell you this. This will help you understand a central truth concerning the Passover. The Passover is absolutely essential for eternal life. Jesus said, "Unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you." Now stop and think a minute. If you're Satan the devil, what would you like to confuse more than anything else? What would you like to get people divided over more than anything else? Well, it's happened in the world. They call the Passover. Well, they don't keep the Passover. But what date some of the Protestants take is the Lord's Supper. And that's in the morning. They don't get any dessert with it either. And if you're a Mormon, you're in prison because you have bread and water. See? And if you're a Catholic, you come to a sacrifice of the Mass, where they literally crucify Jesus again by the command of the priest. Now, when you come to the Jews, because they no longer keep a 14th Passover, they keep it on the 15th. So, in order to justify what they do, they had to reinterpret certain words to make it fit their theory. And that word is, in the evening, or between the two evenings in English, which in Hebrew is pronounced Bain, B-E-N, Ha, H-A, and then Arbim, A-R-B-Y-I-M. Bain, Ha-R, Bain. So what we were doing, we were keeping the Passover correctly on the 14th day of the first month as it begins in the evening. All right, now let's come here to Exodus 12. And let's pick it up here in verse 6. They were to select the lamb on the 10th day of the month. They were to hold it until the 14th, verse 6. And you shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly, the congregation of Israel, shall kill it in the evening. Okay. We understood that correctly, meaning after sunset on the 13th and beginning of the 14th. Well, the first time I heard this sermon, I said, all right, okay. Then we come over here to verse 18, and this creates a problem, and also creates a problem in understanding. Verse 18, in the first month, on the 14th day of the month, at even, and a minister said, verse 6 means at the beginning of the day, and then he said, verse 18 means the end of the day. And I thought, huh. And I hadn't been baptized, but what, about 4 or 5 months then at that particular time. So I just took his word for it and went on from there. And didn't know the difference in the Hebrew word. Didn't understand the difference there. But this also caused people to say then that the Passover is also the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. When, as we will see a little later, Leviticus 23, it says, and on the 15th day of the first month is the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Now, how can that be? So you get all of those difficulties and problems, see? Okay. So it compounds itself a little later on. Let's go back here to Leviticus 23 and let's read it. Let's see what else we have here. Okay. Leviticus 23, let's read it here. Verse 5. In the 14th day of the first month at even. Now, this doesn't say evening like it does in Exodus 12:8, does it? I mean, you don't have King James Version, so it's hard for you to follow this. Okay. Is the Lord's Passover. And on the 15th day of the same month is the Feast of Unleavened Bread. So now how can you combine the 14th and the 15th together? Then you have to ask the question, why do the Jews keep it on the 15th and call it the Passover when the Passover is on the 14th? And you ask any Jew, when's the Passover? He says on the 15th. And not many people understand the problem with it. And if you're a Protestant, this doesn't make any difference to you because you don't care about the Old Testament anyway. So we go along through the years. We also had a problem with counting Pentecost. I won't go through that. Based on the same problem with words. Okay. So we go along for years. So this was 1961 that I heard this sermon. Go to Ambassador College, graduate, take ministerial training, then ordained as an elder, go over to Boise, and I'm pastoring the churches over there in Boise and Salt Lake, and then come on down to Pasadena, and I'm pastoring Torrance and Santa Monica there, and everything is fine. For the Passover, everything is fine. Then all of a sudden, in 1975, there was a paper written by a professor, Lester Grabe, and a Jew from New York who convinced Lester Grabe that the Jews' interpretation of the Passover was right. So what was their interpretation? Their interpretation of the Passover was this. There was no longer a Passover lamb slain at the home. It had all been moved to the temple, okay? And they killed it in the evening, about 3 p.m, okay? So when it says at even, that means to kill it at 3 p.m. Now, have you ever walked up to someone at 3 p.m. and said good evening? See, that's when they killed the evening sacrifice. Well, how can you kill the evening sacrifice in the middle of the afternoon? And they said that when the sun starts to go down at noon, that's the beginning of evening. Well, how did this fit in with the Passover? Because, let's come back here to Exodus 12. At midnight, after they roasted the lamb and ate it, and they were all in their houses. And remember, when they killed the lamb, they had to take some of the blood and put it on the side post of the door and the upper lintel to spare the firstborn from execution. Okay? Now, here are the instructions. Verse 23, Exodus 12. And remember, the Jews were spread out in the land of Goshen, and the elders had to get the message to them. So Moses gave them the message. Let's go back here to verse 21, see what he told them. Chapter 12 down through verse 20 are God's instructions to Moses. Chapter 21 then, Moses passes them on to the elders, so they pass them on to the children of Israel. Then Moses called for all the elders and said unto them, draw out and take you a lamb according to your families and kill the Passover. And you shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it into blood that is in the basin and strike the lintel and the two side posts with the blood that is in the basin. And none shall go out of his house until morning. Okay. Verse 23. For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians, and when he sees the blood on the lintel and on the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not allow the destroyer to come in to your houses to smite you. And you shall observe this thing for an ordinance to you and to your sons forever. Now come down here and say, when you get in the land, you're going to do it, verse 25. Then verse 26 says, and it shall come to pass when your children shall say to you, what do you mean by this service? That is, killing the lamb, getting it ready to roast it with bitter herbs, and then putting the blood on the door, etc. That you shall say, it is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt, and smote the Egyptians and delivered our houses, and the people bowed the head in worship, and the children of Israel went away and did as the Lord had commanded Moses and Aaron, so they did. All right. So this was given to them prior to the 10th day of the first month. So they all went home and they selected the lamb on the 10th day. They kept it up to the 14th. They killed it. They skinned it. And they took the innards out and put back in the heart and the liver and the kidneys, put it on a spigot, and roasted it. They had to roast it with fire. A little later we see, but it isn't in the King James, that it talks about a Passover that they boiled. When the instructions in Exodus 12 says, turn back just a page here, okay, here's what they were to do after killing it and putting the blood on the door, verse 8. And you shall eat the flesh in that night. Roast with fire and unleavened bread and with bitter herbs shall they eat it. Eat not of it raw nor sodden. And that Hebrew word is bashal, which means boiled with water, but roast with fire. His head with his legs and its pertinence that I mentioned there, okay? And you shall let nothing of it remain until morning. That which remains until morning, you shall burn with fire, okay? Now then, everybody follow along with that, okay? So, let's read the next verse. And thus shall you eat it with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, your staff in your hand. You shall eat it in haste. Now the Jews took advantage of that English translation and said, see, they ate it in a hurry so they could leave right after midnight and go out of the door of their house because the death angel passed over. So therefore, it was on the 15th and not on the 14th. The only thing that happened on the 14th was they killed it at 3 o'clock at the temple. Right? Well, these were killed at their houses. Okay, so what happened was, 1975, Lester Grabe and Robert Kuhn wrote this paper with the Jewish tradition, that it was killed in the afternoon, that's the evening, and that they left after midnight because that's morning, just like we have in Roman time today. Okay? If you wake up at midnight, wake up your wife, and she, what's going on? Good morning. What time is it? It's 10 after midnight. It's nighttime. Look, it's dark out there. Okay. So it's hard to make sense out of this misinterpretation here. When Moses said, and none of you shall go out of the door of his house until morning. So how do you solve this problem? How is it possible? Okay. So, went through the paper, read all the various things about it, and I just written and published the second edition of the Harmony of the Gospels. And I presented the Passover the way that is correctly explained in the Scriptures. And so I thought, okay, now we're stuck with a problem. And the problem is this. If we cannot find how God used those two words in the Bible in a chronological way, then we are forced to accept the Jewish interpretation because there's nothing else. Okay? Now, the two words are this, which has to do with evening. Then there's one more word for morning and another word for night. Let me give you those two words. One of them already covered, Bain Ha'ar Ba'im. Okay? The next one is Ba'erev. B-A-E-R-E-V. And that means sunset. Translated, evening. Okay? Now, everyone wanted to solve the problem, so They hurried back home. They got out their handy-dandy Strong's Concordance, and they looked, and they found, and lo and behold, there was no Hebrew word, Bein Ha'ar Ba'im. It was all listed under Erev. Now, how do you solve that problem? See? Well, I'll explain it this way. The word, I'll explain it with this English word. The infinity is to be. From that comes, I am, you are, he is, we were, or we are, they are, etc. Okay? Now you look up are, you can find that in a dictionary. But that's a derivative of the infinity to be. Now, Bein Ha'ar Ba'im literally means and translated, and it's an entirely different word, between the two evenings. Okay? Ba'erev means at sunset. Now, let me give you the other two words. Okay? Morning is Bokur, B-O-Q-U-E-R, which means sunrise, not after midnight. See? And the other word is night, which is Lael, L-A-I, Lael, L-A-I-L, that's it, Lael. Okay? And that means night. Okay? So, morning is Bokur, that means sunrise. Okay? Now, is there a place in the Old Testament, in the Hebrew, to unravel this problem? What do we have to find? We have to find, did God use Bein Ha'ar Ba'im and Ba'erev in a chronological way? That is, so we can determine from a chronological context on how God used those terms. And if we can, then we can establish the right understanding for those words and eliminate this confusion. And if we find it in the right way and eliminate the confusion, then we have struck the axe to the tree of the false doctrine. Okay? So I came back from the conference and I said, well, boy, this puts me in a quandary because we've sold about 13,000 of the Harmony of the Gospels, and that was back in 75, you see. And here, the whole book is based on the Passover, right? And the sequence of the Passover as we take it out of the New Testament. And you got to get your time setting from the Old Testament. And there are some people in the Church of God today who still can't figure it out. Now, I studied and studied and studied and studied and studied on that. So the best way I could do, since my Hebrew was virtually zilch at that time, it's a little about zilch plus, that's why we had Michael Heiss do the Old Testament for us. But I got a Hebrew interlinear. Now, Hebrew books are backwards. The back is the front, and you read from the right to the left. But it had the English underneath. And so I'm reading along, okay? Come over here to Exodus 16. Because here was the one that still mixed it up. Here was the one you couldn't solve. Let's read it. Verse 6, Exodus 16, okay? Moses and Aaron said to all the children of Israel, at even, then you shall know that the Lord brought you out of the land of Egypt. And in the morning, oh, there we have Bokur. Okay. sunrise, you shall see the glory of the Lord. You come down here to verse 8. Moses said, this shall be when the Lord will give you in the evening flesh to eat. Then you come over here to verse 12, God speaking back to Moses. I've heard the murmurings of the children of Israel speak unto them, saying, at even you shall eat flesh, and in the morning you shall be filled with bread, and you shall know that I am the Lord. And it came to pass that at even the quail came upon the camp. And in the morning the dew lay around about the host. Okay? Now, can you tell which evening is which evening here? No. You can't into English. So the trusty old King James is really not trusty, and it's not the most accurately translated. As I've mentioned, they had committees that took certain sections of the Bible, like I've covered before, 1 Corinthians 13. You read that in the King James, and the Greek word agape for love is translated charity, because there were people on that committee who wanted to show that the Latin expression of charity, they wanted to get in the King James version of the Bible when every place else it's translated love. And William Tyndale, who was the first one to translate from the original Greek into English, translated it love. Likewise here. They didn't understand evening. They didn't understand morning. They didn't understand between the two evenings. And so I'm reading this Hebrew interlinear, and it dawned on me, the problem is solved. This chapter, Exodus 16, solves the problem. So I'm going to go to the faithful version, and I will show you how it is solved. I was reading Exodus 16, and the key point is, what I did, I took, you have to do everything to figure it out. So I took and made a Hebrew calendar, okay? Because when you read the context here, God was talking to them on the Sabbath day. So here is the key. Let's come back here, Exodus 16, verse 1. And they took their journey from Elam, and all the congregation of the children of Israel came into the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elam and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after departing out of the land of Egypt. Okay, now you've got a definite point to start. A Sabbath, 15th day of the month, okay? What can you do with that? When did they leave Egypt? 15th day of the first month. Can you then construct a calendar and number the days going backward and see when the Passover was, see when the first day of unleavened bread was? Yes, you can. Because the first month has 30 days in it. Okay? So that was number one. Now, when are we to observe a Sabbath? From sunset to sunset, right? Not the Jewish interpretation, Bein Ha'arba'im, at 3 in the afternoon. That's stupid. You start the Sabbath at 3 in the afternoon? And then some Jews say, well, really, you don't have to start the Sabbath until it's dark enough you can see three stars. Oh, really? So that gives you what? Huh. That gives you in the summertime, what does that give you? Man, that gives you about a 7-hour difference, right? Depending where you're living. Okay? So we know it's from sunset to sunset. That's what Leviticus 23 says. Okay, let's follow along. I want to concentrate here on Exodus 16. Let's continue on, verse 2. Then the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said to them, "Oh, that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt." Nonsense, that's a lie, that wasn't true. But notice, when we sat by the flesh pots and we ate bread to the full, for you have brought us into this wilderness to kill us, to kill this whole assembly with hunger. Now, if they had faith in God, they could have said, "Moses, we're all dying for some flesh here, friend. And we know that God has performed miracles in Egypt to bring us here. Could you go pray to God for us and ask him to provide something for us?" Would God have done it? But of course. Okay. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain amount every day, that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or not." Hello, the law before pronouncement at Sinai, correct? Yes. See, when you read it and study it the way it should be, you learn a lot of things, right? "And it shall come to pass on the sixth day," see, all right, "they shall prepare what they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather day by day." And Moses and Aaron said to the children of Israel, "At sunset, ba'erev." Now, how long is sunset? Well, you watch the horizon, okay? Here's the horizon right here. When the sun touches the horizon, that's the beginning of it. 5 to 7 minutes later, depending on the season and where you are on the earth, the sun goes down. Ba'erev is over. Sunset is over. So it's a precise period of time. Okay? So now we have it distinguished here at sunset. "At sunset, then you shall know that the Lord has brought you out of the land of Egypt." Now, since this day is the Sabbath, what does the sunset do time-wise? It ends the Sabbath, correct? Okay. Now remember, God didn't want them working on the Sabbath, and God didn't want them going out to get manna on the Sabbath or going out to get sticks on the Sabbath. Remember that? Okay. Now if God is going to give them a command to do, and then God in the same day turn around and breaks his own law right in front of the people, like one man said who believed in the 15th Passover, "Oh, God was merciful on the Sabbath, and he sent the quails, so they got them at 3 in the afternoon." No, it doesn't say that. "At sunset you shall see the glory of the Lord, for he hears your murmurings against the Lord. And what are we that you murmur against us?" And Moses said, "You will see when the Lord shall give you flesh to eat at sunset." All right, mark that. He's going to give them flesh to eat at sunset. Now let me ask you a question. What if you ask your wife to go to the store and buy some steak? Can you eat the steak before she gets home and cooks it? Now, wouldn't it be stupid if you said when she arrived with the steaks, "Oh, forget it, I've already eaten." See? Now, I make a point here, see, because God did not break the Sabbath by sending the quail on the Sabbath day. So if he sends them at sunset, when can they eat them? After sunset, not before, right? Yes. Okay. "And bread to the full at sunrise, bokur." See, we have translated this correctly. Now, if the King James had done this, it would have eliminated the problems. But they didn't do it, nor did they understand it. Okay. Verse 9. "Moses spoke to Aaron, say to all the children of Israel, come near before the Lord, for he has heard your murmurings. And it came to pass, as Aaron spoke to the whole congregation of the children of Israel, that they turned toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, I've heard the murmurings of the children of Israel. Speak to them, saying, between the two evenings. Now the King James says, at even. Well, it doesn't give you any understanding, right? When does between the two evenings, Bain Ar Baim come? Before Bar Erev, sunset, or after Bar Erev? See? Has to come after because you can't eat it before it arrives. Isn't that simple? You understand that? Okay. Between the two evenings, you shall eat flesh. I don't know if you've ever eaten quail, but here, what he did, see, the quail came right down on the camp at sunset. Now, how much work do you have to do to reach up and grab the quail? And God probably put them in a, you know, semi-sedated state when they landed. So all they had to do is get them, wring off the neck, skin them out, pull the guts out, hold them over the fire. Now, quail are like pigeons. Have you ever had pigeon breast? Haven't? It's like two thumbs and about that long. You know, if you got a big mouth, about three good bites and it's all gone. Okay. How long does it take to cook that? 15 or 20 minutes. Okay. So the quail comes. Say it takes 10 minutes to get the quail ready. And of course they kept the fire lingering all day on the Sabbath. So then the sun goes down and they put the wood on the fire and the fire comes up. And then they take the quail that they have skinned and everybody's out there killing and skinning them right there in the camp. They didn't have to go outside the camp to try and find them out in the wilderness, see. They roast them. When are they eating them? When do they start eating flesh? After sunset and before dark, between the two evenings, between sunset and dark. And that's what between the two evenings mean. Okay? So when? I discovered that. Boy, and I remember I was lying there in bed reading this Hebrew interlinear, and I discovered that, and it happened another time, very similar. And I bounced out of bed, and I said, that's it. Here is a place that tells us how God used it. Not Moses, God. See? On a Sabbath day, and we know Sabbath is from sunset to sunset, right? Yes. So therefore, Bain Har Baim comes after sunset because you can't eat the flesh before it arrives. And God was not going to work on the Sabbath day to send a quail before sunset and make the people work. Because the next Sabbath, when they went out to look for manna, what happened? When they got caught. God said, how long refuse you to keep my commandment? See? Okay. So there it is. That's the key. If you ever find someone that with a 15 Passover, you just get this video and you sit them down and you have them go right through it with you, follow everything along, and then you'll understand. All right, let's finish this off. Now the question is asked, how long is between the two evenings? It depends on the time of the year, and it depends where you are on the earth. So after we take a break, I will explain exactly how long Bain Har Baim is.